The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. This is Elizabeth Larkin, and I'm here with Gene Marks.
Hello, Elizabeth. You are going to ask me what my favorite TV show, not my favorite, but what TV show is I'm watching.
Yeah, what are you watching right now?
This is a show for the guys. So what was the name of your show that you liked to get
with? Big Little Lies.
Okay, that seemed like one for the, you said it was like more of a women-oriented show. The show that I'm just wrapping up, and I got three episodes left in the entire series, is Banshee. Ever heard of Banshee
before?
I've never
even heard of it.
Oh my God. So it is a Cinemax show, Banshee. It ran for four seasons. It just ended last year. And it is a rocking and rolling. It is about a guy, is an ex-con who assumes the identity of a sheriff in a small Pennsylvania town.
Really?
You don't even want to know what goes on in the small Pennsylvania town.
I really don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of adult themes in this show, let us just say. And it is but it's wild. It's great and fun.
Are you watching it with your wife or on your own?
This is a show on my own that we're watching. You know what I'm watching with my wife right now? Because I have two shows going on. Shameless. I don't know if you ever watched Shameless.
I haven't, but I thought it's good.
Great.
It's on Showtime.
Showtime.
Right?
And we're in like the third season of it right now, and it's just great. So her and I are really into that right now.
So you travel all the time.
Yeah, I do.
So
I watch stuff all the time.
You have to have two shows, because if you're watching something with your wife and then you go away, one of you might watch it.
We don't do that. So we stick to her. We watch. We're pretty loyal about doing that, like sticking to our own shows.
But that's because you have a side show.
Right. And then she has her shows. Like she'll watch like Yes to the Dress anytime.
Yeah.
She's obsessed with My 600-Pound Life. You ever seen that show as well?
I've seen
I don't know what the fascination is with that show, but she always puts that show on. Or cooking shows,
Like
she loves the Food Channel.
Too. All right. So that's Banshee?
It is really fun. It's really a guy's show, I gotta tell you, but it's a cool show.
Okay, well, our listeners will be the judge of that, Gene.
There you go.
I'll put that in the show notes. We also want to remind people to weigh in on the Apple or Android Apple. So leave us a review on iTunes and tell us if you run your business using an iPhone or an Android.
Good.
And we'll be right back with our question.
Would you like for your next major business purchase to be paid for by credit card rewards points? Learn how you might be able to do that in Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, The Ultimate Guide to Business Credit Cards. In this free ebook, you'll learn how you can rack up rewards points for your next major business purchase or personal vacation, how you can use business credit cards so they won't affect your personal credit, and even how to keep employees from using their work credit cards for personal use. Just head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to get your free ebook today.
Okay, Gene, this question doesn't seem like much of a problem to me, but I'm going to ask you, and you tell me if you think this is a problem. This is another anonymous question. Again, you don't have to tell us your name or your location. If you want to send us an anonymous question, that's perfect.
Oh, for goodness sake, tell us your name and location already. It's more fun to know who you are, and we can make fun of you that way.
Or you could just make up a name and location.
Yes, exactly right.
Be a little creative. Okay, so this question is, every now and then I hear people talk about the dangers of growing a business too fast. Is this an actual danger? And if so, can you explain why it's dangerous and how to control it without hurting your business? Or if it isn't an actual danger, why do people mention this? You know what? It is true. You do hear people talking about, oh, your business is growing too quickly.
Well, it is a danger. I mean, it's a working capital issue. It's a productivity issue.
Okay,
it's a stress issue.
That.
So what it is that if you, for companies that have hit on something and they have a lot of sales, keeping up with sales is a lot easier said than done. I mean, you always hear about, be careful what you ask for. If you have a business that is becoming really popular and you're in demand, it means you're making commitments to people and promises to sell them stuff. And when you make commitments and promises to sell them stuff, most people like you and I, Elizabeth, and I'm sure you, the listener, agree that you want to make sure that you keep your promise. So then you are then burdened with stress to buy inventory, to make sure things get made on time, shipped on time, delivered on time, serviced on time. And all that takes money. All of that takes money. It's not that, you know, when people buy stuff from you, in general, if they're paying you for something in advance, they're expecting you to get their product right away. Mm-hmm. If it's a type of a business where you're billing somebody, then, you know, you don't have their money for 30 to 60 days but you're incurring the costs of making and servicing and getting the product out the door.
What's usually holding that up? Is it usually the product that holds it up?
It's money that's holding it up. Usually what's happening to people is, you know, they've got the product idea. They just can't make it fast enough. They don't have the money to make it fast enough. They don't have the space. They don't have the people to do it. They don't have the resource. They don't have the money to get
it
all done.
And that's when they go on Shark Tank and they say,
we need financing. We need a partner to come on board. We have this demand that's out there. So when people grow too fast, they grow themselves out of business because they incur all these responsibilities and then they can't get them done. They don't have the financing for it. And therefore, they, believe it or not, they got all these orders and they wind up going out of business because of that.
So as a business owner, then how do you solve for that?
I mean, you have to, first of all, there's no silver bullet. You don't know. I mean, none of us really know when we have something that like takes, you know, we're thrilled, but who knew it was going to be this successful? Yeah. So it's very, very tough to plan for that kind of a thing in advance. But just know that your eyes can't be bigger than your stomach. So if you're going to take an order for something, you have to make sure that you're going to be able to service that order and deliver on that order and have the capital to be able to spend for the materials and the people and the resource needed to get that order done. If you're not sure of that, then your best practice is not taking the order. And I know that sounds, who wants to turn away business?
So you have a wait list.
You have a wait list. That's exactly right. Or you say it's just something that, you know, we're out of stock right now. We're backlogged. If you're in that situation, you're exposed. Oh my God, competitors can hear about that or people taking away your business. So, you know, you have to kind of resign yourself to the fact that, okay, maybe I can't be master of the world and own the market. But you know what? For the commitments that I did make, I'm going to make sure I deliver on those. So I've got happy customers. Let them keep coming back. And I'd rather have happy customers and forfeit other customers than have a bunch of unhappy customers because I couldn't deliver on what I promised to do.
Yeah, that seems like good advice.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with our Word of Brilliance.
Did you know that more than half of the small and mid-sized businesses that fall victim to a data breach close within 6 months? It's true. And it's not just big businesses that are targets for data breaches. Small businesses are actually more likely target because of their lower security. Luckily, Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, How to Safeguard Your Small Business from Data Breaches, will help explain all the ways you can help protect your company from data theft. You'll learn about daily habits that could be exposing you to a breach, how to help protect company and customer data and credit card information, how to train your employees to help prevent breaches, and what to do if a breach happens. Go to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
And we're back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Food is my word. Food. Have you ever eaten at a prêt-à-manger?
Yes.
You have, which is delicious. They're in New York and D.C.
And Europe.
Yes.
Walked by one in Paris and I thought, oh, I could go in there because I know exactly the service and the food I'm going to get.
It is delicious. They're all over. It's a UK-based company. Delicious, amazing sandwiches. You're going to think I'm a nut here, but like I'm going to London to see my in-laws over the weekend. I'm already thinking of our return flight back because there's a prêt-à-manger in Heathrow.
There is.
Whoa. And I'm going to go there. I'm already there. There's days there. I'm like, I'm definitely going there and getting a tuna sandwich on the baguette with cucumber. It's so good. Anyway, prêt-à-manger, we talk about food. They ran into a bit of a problem that would affect a lot of small businesses. They are trying to attract more people to work at their places because finding workers, this is in the UK, finding workers there, just like in the US, very difficult, particularly on lower skilled jobs. They are also challenged because of Brexit over in the UK as well. So less immigrants coming in, which means less of a population, a pool of workers to choose from. So prêt-à-manger said, we're going to offer to teenagers 1 week internships. We're going to teach you guys everything you need to know about the food retail business, how to make sandwiches, how these stores work. We're going to really prepare you for all that. A really great 1 week. And we're going to run them all throughout next summer. And we're, you know, if you join our internship program, you'll get all the free food you want.
Nice.
That's how they're going to pay. Well, not so nice to certain groups that advocate for internships. And this is not just in the UK, but in the US, they're not being paid. That's exactly right. So, you know, unpaid interns are it's a big issue of controversy because
I feel like it's a thing of the past, really.
You would think so. I think that issue, you would think it had been resolved, and yet here's Pret-a-Manger saying, well, we're not going to pay these guys. We'll just give them, they can have a sandwich. Is it fair enough with cucumbers on it because it's England? You know, that doesn't fly anymore. And I still have clients that want to bring on interns for the summer. And, you know, for high school kids, college kids, and they still kick around. Should we pay them? Should we not? So here's the rule. Pay your interns. OK, yep,
I agree.
It's bad practice not to pay them. It's discriminatory not to pay them because these unpaid internships are found that they attract people that can afford from income levels of their families that can afford to work the unpaid internships. And then people that don't have that ability, they can't work and it's discriminatory against them. And you're missing out on potentially good people as well. So again, the advice that I take it from Pret-a-Manger, think food. Don't give away free food. Well, you can give away free food if you want, but you also got to pay your workers.
You should give your interns free food.
Yeah, they can also have free food as well. Yeah, like a bag of chips.
So,
by the way, Pret-a-Manger changed its policy due to the public backlash in the UK. They came back and announced, "Oh, sorry, our bad. We're going to start paying an hourly wage."
You really are shrinking your pool of interns if you're only going to do
unpaid. It's exactly right.
You're going to get.
And you're putting yourself up for some potential PR abuse, public relations.
It's not
problems.
Worth it.
It's not
just,
worth it.
And
pay
what do you have to pay an intern? Obviously, you'd have to pay the minimum wage if your state has a minimum wage.
Yeah, right? You need to pay the minimum wage is what it is. And a lot of states have, the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. A lot of states have higher minimum. You got to pay a minimum wage. So that's something that you're going to, you just have to do. By the way, but paying an intern, a college kid, a minimum wage for the opportunity for them to also get good experience and something to put on their resume. It's a good trade-off. You can get
definitely.
Away with that.
I mean, that's what they tell you now in as early as high school. Like, you got to get an internship.
Yes.
So they're looking for internships.
They are. So the kids are looking for internships. And I think employers should really be considering that stuff.
Okay, great. All right. We'll be back with our next episode on offering your customers tech support later this week.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.